What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Right, we are turning our attention now to the third and deciding test in the British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa. Delighted to welcome Cian Tracy from the Irish Independent back to the show. Cian, good morning to you.
Hey, Owen, how are things?
Yeah, good. Let's kick things off here with Warren Gatland's comments this morning. Nothing overly explosive, but quite interesting. He's talking about the way the game has gone at the moment. He's referring to a lot of kicking, and that's where international rugby is at. It kind of feels like he's blaming the game in general for the fair on Saturday not being amazing.
Yeah, and really it takes two to tango, doesn't it? And yeah. I think the Lions were as much to blame as the Springboks were. I think that's been one of the most disappointing aspects of the tour, that the Lions have probably got sucked into playing South Africa at their own game. And you think about it back to the 2019 World Cup, they're playing the exact same style. I think the Lions were really going to have to come up with something different to try and beat them. Now, I know they won in that first test, but if you even think back to that first test, like how sluggish South Africa were, I mean, they had a couple of calls that went against their way. They could have had a couple of tries, you know, that could have went their way too. So really and truly, the series could be over. It's small margins. The Lions would probably argue that there were small margins in the second test as well. But South Africa haven't had two games under their belt now. There's huge momentum behind them. And, you know, it's funny to kind of look at the reaction from, you know, South Africa compared to this side of the world, you know, with the fallout from the Rassie video and things like that. Like, South Africans, they don't care about the style of play. And really and truly, should they care about the style of play? Probably not. I mean, they're world champions. They could beat the Lions now as well. What they do is really, really effective. It always has been effective. For me, it's disappointing that the Lions haven't tried to think outside the box more. They're trying to go through the box rather than around them or over them. And that, to me, is the most frustrating thing, even in terms of like the fallout from last weekend, you know, in terms of like the Cheslin Colby incident and the Faf de Klerk tackle. But I feel like people probably aren't remembering that the Lions like had a couple of decisions that really went their way as well, in terms of like, you think of Duane van der Merwe was very lucky when he put Peter Steph de Toy out of the game, and then when he tripped Colby as well. So I think there's incidents on both sides, and to go back to your original question, I think there are a pair at the minute here.
Yeah, and like as you say, it takes two to tango. And one of the other quotes from Gatland was, it's about territory and kicking in and putting kick pressure on, not playing too much rugby. Like, I mean, he's speaking as the British and Irish Lions head coach here. Like, we can't point a finger at South Africa for playing that way. I mean, pretty close to home, we experienced a lot of territory and a lot of kick pressure, which was quite successful for Ireland. And they weren't the only nation in the Six Nations to do that regularly over the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, we're probably used to seeing a similar game plan. But I think the biggest difference is, you think back to the 2018 when Ireland won the Grand Slam. Okay, fair enough, there was a lot of kicking in that game, but there was also so many intricate set piece moves. Like, you think back to the Grand Slam decider in Twickenham when CJ Stander scored that try, which for me is still probably one of the best tries an Ireland team has scored. But we haven't seen any of that sort of ingenuity. And I mean, obviously it's easy to point a finger at Gregor Townsend. I mean, I just don't think we have seen his influence at all on this tour. But I suppose I'd probably ask the question, is he being allowed to implement whatever strategy he wants? Because, I mean, this is really and truly a Warren game plan, what we're watching. I mean, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but you think of it like Warren ball. This is exactly what it is. But it didn't work for Wales at the World Cup. I mean, they came up short against South Africa in that semi-final. So to think, my reading of the situation is that from the outside looking in, he thought, okay, naturally enough, having a bigger player pool to play for, he can just enhance that same game plan and get the better of the box. And to me, I don't know, like he might pull it off on Saturday, but to me it was a bit naive to think that that same game plan without tweaking it was going to work. And like I said, I just don't think we've seen anything of Gregor Townsend's influence. There's been no set piece moves. There's been very little creativity. Like you said, it's been pretty much like boot the ball up in the air and see if you can win the ball back. And I know that sounds very simplistic, but that's essentially what they're trying to do. And like last week, if you don't win the aerial battle and you're not winning the scrum battle either and the lineup battle, then you're in big trouble against the box.
Mm. The lack of a plan B has been something that's been really disappointing. Like, you're firmly obviously pointing the finger on one side of things to the coaches. Is there a case to be made here that the coaches are dealing with a group of players that maybe aren't at the level of the last Lions tour or the 2013 Lions tour?
Potentially, but I still think there's a lot of class in this squad. And like, I don't know, like players are playing to a particular game plan. I mean, I know the stat about Dan Biggar only had 3 passes in the game last weekend, which is just mad. But you can't tell me that an out half of Dan Biggar's quality is happy to have passed the ball 3 times in a game. You know, that just shows how much they're kicking off 9, and that just shows how much they're playing to the game plan. I mean, it is really disappointing. But when we were, I think I was on with you guys when we were talking about the squad when it was picked, like back in, what was it, April, May. And like the most exciting thing I think about the squad was he picked a lot of players, you know, that were good at the top of the ground, good on hard ground, you know, going to South Africa. You think of like Ty Byrne and Ian Henderson and Sam Simmons, these kind of guys. Like Billy Vunipola was left at home. And you're kind of wondering now, should Billy Vunipola, should he have been brought? Because really, the kind of game plan that they're playing, it's tailor-made for, you know, big ball carriers and to get over the gain line. Because I think that's something that the Lions have really lacked. They just haven't been winning the gain line. And they're lacking a bit of dynamism as well. I mean, you know, Jack Owen is playing his 3rd consecutive Lions test this weekend, and fair play to him. But for someone like him, I just don't think that the game plan is being tailored to his strengths. His strengths are getting on the ball in the wider channels, but he got a couple of chances in the first test, but in the second test, not at all. And to me, that points to the system isn't playing to someone like that. So I think that's one of the disappointing things as well, that there is quality in this squad, but I don't think they're playing to it. And I think even the team selection this weekend points to more of the same, really.
Yeah, Keane, that's what I was going to ask. There is 6 changes this weekend. We see Bundey Aki coming in to make his test cap. That's great news for him, and it's going to be really interesting to see how him and Robbie Henshaw get on. In your opinion, are they the correct changes?
Yeah, like I think a lot of them make sense. I was probably surprised there wasn't a couple of more, to be honest. I think it's brilliant. I'm surprised that it's taken to the 3rd test, if I'm honest, to see Bundey Aki and Robbie Henshaw be paired together. I think, you know, Bundey Aki's selection from the outset of the squad in general, you know, raised a few eyebrows, but I probably, in hindsight, wasn't really that surprised, because I think he's a classic Warren Gatlin type of player. And, you know, I think he's a guy that we probably haven't seen the best of still for Ireland. I think there's still more to come from him. You know, you look back to the first test, the selection of Elliot Daly just didn't work at 13 at all. Chris Harris last week was okay. I mean, he's a pretty defensive-minded player anyway, so Bundey Aki, I think, can bring something different, because it means you're pushing Robbie Henshaw into 13. And to me, of the 3 centre partnerships that have played the 3 tests, this has the most balance. So I'm really excited to see how they do. I still think Bundey Aki is underappreciated by a lot of people in Ireland who aren't from Connacht, it has to be said, because Connacht get to see on a weekly basis how important he is for him. I think the changes in the back 3 were pretty obvious. I'm probably a little bit surprised maybe that Duane van der Merwe has kept his place, but I think Liam Williams and Josh Adams coming in makes a lot of sense. Ali Price at scrum half, it's interesting, it's tough for Conor Murray. It's been a roller coaster of a tour for Conor Murray. When you think back to it feels like ages ago now, but that when he was named captain when Alwyn Jones dislocated his shoulder. And then he doesn't start for the first test, and then he comes in and he starts for the second test, and now he's on the bench again. And I think when we saw Ali Price start the first test, I think, you know, there was probably a bit of excitement because it might have suggested that, you know, the Lions are going to try and play with a bit of tempo, try and get the ball to width. But that didn't happen at all in the first test. And actually, I thought Ali Price played pretty well, particularly in the second half. His box kicking was on the money. And I was probably a little bit surprised that he didn't keep his place for the second test. So I would be less kind of excited now about seeing Ali Price come into the team, because I think it's just going to be more of what we saw in the first test, which was plenty of box kicking. And then I suppose up front, the changes, yeah, like I think Wyn Jones was always going to start as soon as he was fit. Ken Owens, I think that's to kind of get a bit of solidity into the scrum. I think the Lions are lacking serious dynamism at hooker, and Ken Owens isn't going to really improve that. He should shore up the set piece, but again, that points to what Gatland is looking to do. For me, I think someone like Jamie George would have been worth a look. Far more dynamic, really solid at the set piece. And yeah, then the rest of the pack is the same. I was surprised maybe they didn't freshen up the back row in particular. I was on the paper review with Will on Sunday saying how frustrating it had been that Ty Byrne had, you know, only gotten a couple of really short cameos off the bench. And I was kind of expecting him to really push, maybe even for a start at six this week. And now he's not in the squad at all. So again, I think that points to more of how we're expected to see more of the same from the Lions this weekend.
You mentioned Bundiaki there, Keane, and the general maybe lack of the level of appreciation that he deserves outside of the Connacht support group. Do you think that there's a lack of appreciation within the Ireland coaching ticket as well?
I'm not sure about in the coaching ticket. I think Gary Ringrose is such a classy player. He hasn't had the best kind of time with injury in the last year or so, and that's been a factor. But I think also since Robbie Henshaw has moved to Leinster, you know, he's playing all the time with Gary Ringrose. So when it comes to the Irish picture, I think it's much more attractive for the Irish coaches to go with Henshaw and Ringrose, because they're playing with each other all the time. Now, that's a pretty simplistic way of looking at it, but that does count for something. Mm. And I think that's maybe why Bundiaki hasn't featured as much. But to be fair, like, even you think back to that, the 2018, the Grand Slam campaign, Ringrose and Henshaw were both injured at various different points, and Bundiaki was kind of the one centre who featured in all five of Ireland's games. So he's been part of some pretty big wins. I think it's a big test for him this weekend. I mean, he's been put in there to bring physicality, but he's really got to keep it in check, because I think there are times where Bundiaki maybe lets the occasion get to the better of him because he's trying to put in the big hit. And I think Matthew Reynal is the ref this week as well, and I'm pretty sure he was the ref the last time Bundiaki played a test, which was for Ireland in the Six Nations when he got sent off against England for that high shot on Billy Vunipola. So I think he's just got to be mindful of that as well. But playing with Robbie Henshaw, I think, will really help him, because you think back, like, this is a centre partnership that has been, you know, going since their Connacht days when they, you know, allegedly went after that famous stolen laptop. So these lads know how to do it, and the goal gets stolen.
On the Ali Price, Conor Murray way up then, like, I mean, you mentioned there was a lot of kicking off nine last week. Is there a sense that the Lions are replicating this whole scenario of being frustrated with Conor Murray for a tactic that maybe he's been told to execute?
I think that's the story of Conor Murray's career, to be honest with you. I think he becomes an easy person to criticise, because unfortunately a lot of people on social media, Twitter, whatever it is, just hate that style of play. But that's the way, the style of play that the coaches want to play. And I think he probably didn't have his best game last weekend. A couple of his box kicks weren't on the money. But yeah, it goes back to my original point. He's been asked to carry out the same game plan. And I think, you know, it's all well and good making like personnel changes to the team, but unless there's a tweak in mindset and sort of, you know, mentality of how they're looking to play, it doesn't matter who you have in there, because Ali Price and Conor Murray are very, very different scrum halves. But we saw it in the first test that Ali Price was being asked to carry out the same game plan that Conor Murray was being asked to play. So yeah, it's like, you know, Jack Conan playing number eight. Like, if you're not playing to these guys' strengths, I think it becomes very, very difficult. And I wouldn't read too much into Ali Price starting scrum half that it means, you know, the Lions are suddenly going to play any differently. It's probably naive to think the Lions are going to play radically different within a week as well. I mean, I think, you know, they played some really nice expansive rugby in the warm-up games, which I know the standard of opposition was really poor, but once it came to the test series, it reverted to type and it reverted to probably the game plan that Warren Gatland has relied upon for Wales over the last couple of years, which, to be fair, has brought him success. But like I said, it came unstuck in that World Cup semi-final, and I think this requires something different. I suppose even the selection of Finn Russell on the bench, you know, would suggest that. But I still think that that's going to be kind of an emergency option. I don't see kind of Finn Russell coming on. I think if Dan Biggar, touch wood, like you wouldn't wish injury on anyone, but if he was to get injured early on and Finn Russell comes on, I think then it actually could be brilliant for the game itself, because it could really open up and we might see a lot of different things. Because, you know, you ask about Addy Price, like the Box have made an enforced change of scrum half as well. And Cobus Reinach coming in for Faf de Klerk. I mean, that kind of changes the dynamic of what they're able to do as well, because like Reinach is probably, it's actually probably a similar kind of change to the Lions taking Conor Murray out, in that Faf de Klerk is a far stronger box kicker than Reinach. Reinach is also right-footed. Faf de Klerk is left-footed. That does make a difference as well when you think about the number of box kicks that they're going to put up and, you know, being used to chasing off a left-footed kicker. But Reinach offers something a little bit different as well. He's a major threat, sniping threat around the edge of the fringes. So that could, you know, in terms of like the neutrals wanting to see a better game, I still think the Box are going to play the same game plan, but Reinach has a little bit more of an X factor around the fringes than Faf de Klerk has.
And the Springboks, they have the momentum now. You know, they look like they're getting that match sharpness back. How important is it, I suppose, for the attack? I know you mentioned it there, Keane, for them to vary that. Because, as you said, they're almost running straight at them and trying to go through them.
Yeah, exactly. And like they're running into probably the best defence in the world, probably run by now the best defensive coach, Jack Nienaber, who is the head coach now. And I think he's probably someone that hasn't gotten a lot of the credit, because the Rassie Erasmus show has dominated the agenda over the last couple of weeks. But, you know, this is his first head coach role. And that maybe might have gone under the radar, because like you talk to any of the Munster players who played under Nienaber and Erasmus, and like most of them will tell you that they absolutely loved playing for these two guys. And I know like the Erasmus video last week, you know, that deflected a lot of the tension away. And I think all the while it allowed kind of Nienaber to get on with the job. And obviously Rassie is still doing a huge amount of coaching, but Nienaber is like, they really play the good cop, bad cop role really well. And that goes back to their Munster days. And even when Rassie left Munster in 2018, I think it was, Munster, as far as I'm aware, really wanted Nienaber to stay as head coach. And he was obviously the defence coach at the time. So this guy has been kind of, you know, primed for the main role for a while. So his defensive system that he has implemented at the Box is just, it's so, so tough to break down. But I think like they're missing, like I mentioned, Faf de Klerk, Peter Steph de Toy as well. And they've had to change around the shakeup of their back five in the pack. And I think that will make a difference. I think the Lions are going to really have to try and find a way to go after that. I think Franco Mostert moving to the back row, he was outstanding last weekend. And Lou de Jager coming off the bench was probably like, you know, your classic game changer. And actually really helped, I think, reignite the bomb squad, because I thought last week going into the game that was an area the Lions could have got after them. But I mean, as well as Mostert played, he is an out and out lock. So I think the Lions are going to try and have to find a way to get at him. But I mean, on paper, a Springbok team without Faf de Klerk and without Peter Steph de Toy is not as strong as it was last week. And the knock-on effect of that is the bench isn't as strong. So like I said, the Box have gone back to a 5-3 split, which is something they really, really don't want to do. They didn't want it. They did it in the first test and we saw what happened then. They had absolutely no impact off the bench. Now, the reason they went for it in the first test was Andre Pollard and Matt Pimpy had only just recovered from COVID, so they felt like they had to have the third back on the bench, which made sense. But this week, their hand, I think, is more forced by the fact that they just don't have the quality of forwards, to of loose forwards to bring off the bench. So is it Quagga Smith and Marco van Staden are the two kind of guys they're going to be looking to. The front row is different. I mean, the front row is outstanding that they'll bring. But I think that they're not as strong on the bench this week. But the question is, are the Lions good enough to take advantage of that? And I think that's the bigger question hanging over this week.
And it's a question not only of the players, but of the coaching staff as well. Kian, great stuff this morning. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Cheers, guys.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.